101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Easy Car Sale, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank, Burger King, Island Wholesale, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, and ISL Bahamas Limited, the developers of Swim, the stress-free click-declare software.
Let's do it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So glad to have you with us. You've all heard by now that Hassan Moutry, Speaker of the House of Assembly, has resigned from the FNM. We're going to try to work our way through this with some facts and then see where we are with some opinions. Now, I'm first going to read Moutry's letter for you. Then I'm going to parse through where we are. Okay? All right. So Hassan Moutry created a WhatsApp group not too long ago in order to communicate directly with members of the press, etc. And in his WhatsApp group yesterday, he released his statement of resignation from his seat, mind you, not from being speaker, which is what he should have done, but we gonna get to that. And here's what he says. I know you done heard some of this all day. I don't care. I'm gonna go through it. This is to Serfant Roll. Serfant Roll. I think he even spelled the guy's name wrong. Secretary General, Free National Movement. Today, with immediate effect, I formally end my seven-month constructive withdrawal from the Free National Movement by tendering my resignation, thereby canceling my membership. So let's establish he had a seven-month constructive withdrawal. Nobody knows what the hell that means, but he had a seven-month constructive withdrawal from the FNM. That's a hell of a withdrawal. It says, I thank the FNM for their recognition and opportunity to be elected as a member of the successful 2017 team. My patriotic and not to be compromised convictions on fundamental essentials of democracy and good governance, such as the separation of powers, autonomy and independence of the legislature and judiciary, accountability and transparency, freedom of information, and respect for the Constitution, makes my continued affiliation and association divergent and untenable. As the Member of Parliament for the Nassau Village constituency and the 54th Speaker of the House of Assembly, it is my intent to continue to serve to the best of my ability as an independent member until the House is either prorogued for the purpose of electing a new speaker or dissolved for general elections. To the wonderful people of Nassau Village constituency, I am indeed most grateful for the overwhelming confidence you reposed in me and for your continued cooperation in these troubled times. Be reassured that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. With respect to seeking re-election, I should consult with my wife and my fellow constituents before making a determination and decision on our political relationship. and political future. So let's establish a couple things first. The first thing is, no matter what Hafsan Mutri is saying in this letter, he is resigning from the FNM because they were not going to give him a renomination for Nassau Village. They're eyeing Carlisle Bethel, Carl Bethel, Attorney General Carl Bethel's son, for that seat. Carlisle, call me and tell me I'm lying. All right? So he knows he's not going to get another nomination, so he resigned from the FNM. Now, let's establish a couple of things before we get into the meat of this letter and where we go from here. You should have resigned as Speaker. That's the first thing. I don't know if you can hear me out here, Hafsan Mutri, but you've been an awful Speaker. Yeah? Just awful. You've been unfair. You made some very valid points about the independence of the speakership, but you constantly make things about you. You constantly personalize things. You attack people. You stifle debate. You've done the opposite of what you should have been doing, which is encouraging a spirited, mature, intelligent debate in the House of Assembly, but you've let a supermajority of government run roughshod over the proceedings of the House. You don't marshal the House properly in terms of trying to urge the government to have an opposition day. It's disgraceful that you had no opposition day in this administration in 4 years or in the previous PLP administration. A disgrace, even though the former speaker wasn't nearly as wilding out as you, right? So you've been just a terrible speaker of the House, and you just should have resigned outright, all right? Now you're an independent member, and the Minnesota administration has laid its bed, and it must live with it. Now, riddle me this, Hafsan Mutri and constitutional scholars out there. How is proging the House going to remove the Speaker? I'm a constitutional scholar out there. Show me in the Constitution where, after the prorogation of the House occurs, there is an election for a new Speaker. Somebody show me. Somebody point me to the article of the Constitution that says if the House is prorogued, then there's a new election for a Speaker. Because I looked for it last night, and I couldn't find it. So you show me in the Constitution, point me to the specific article in the Constitution that says proroguing the House will prompt the election of a new Speaker of the House of Assembly. Because here's what the Constitution I have says. It says, when the House of Assembly first meets after any general election and before it proceeds to the dispatch of any other business, the House shall, in accordance with such procedure as may be prescribed by the rules of procedure of the House, elect from among the members who are not ministers or parliamentary secretaries one member to be the Speaker of the House of Assembly, and another member to be Deputy Speaker. And if the office of Speaker or Deputy Speaker falls vacant at any time before the next dissolution of the House of Assembly, the House shall, as soon as practicable, proceed in like manner to fill the vacant office. A person shall vacate the office of Speaker or Deputy Speaker, A, if he ceases to be a member of the House of Assembly, provided that the Speaker shall to vacate his office by reason only that he has ceased to be a member on a dissolution of Parliament until the House of Assembly first meets after that dissolution, B, if he's appointed to be a minister or parliamentary secretary, C, if he announces the resignation of his office to the House of Assembly, or if by writing under his hand addressed, in the case of the Speaker, to the clerk of the House, and in the case of the Deputy Speaker, to the Speaker,
or if the office of Speaker is vacant or the Speaker is absent from the Bahamas, to the clerk, he resigns that office, or D, in the case of the Deputy Speaker, if he's elected to be Speaker. It goes on to say, if by any reason of Article 49.2, which is what I just read to you, of this Constitution, the Speaker or Deputy Speaker is required to cease to perform his functions as a member of the House of Assembly, he shall also cease to perform his function as Speaker or Deputy Speaker, and those functions shall, until he vacates his seat in the House or resumes the performance of the functions of his office, be performed. In the case of Speaker, by the Deputy Speaker, or if the office of Deputy Speaker is vacant, or the Deputy Speaker is required to cease to perform his functions as a member of the House of Assembly by virtue of Article 49.2, which means that he was no longer a member of Parliament or Parliament was dissolved. In the case of the Deputy Speaker, by such member not being a minister or parliamentary secretary, the House may elect for that purpose. If the Speaker or Deputy Speaker resumes the performance of his functions as a member of the House in accordance with the provisions of Article 49.4 of this Constitution, he shall also resume the performance of his functions as Speaker or Deputy Speaker, as the case may be. That's it. Okay? So, the only circumstance that a Speaker and Hassan Mutri is the Speaker and clearly doesn't know this, and don't guesswork me now. Show me the article and provision in the Constitution that says the prorogation of following the prorogation of the House at the beginning of a new session, there's an election for Speaker. Because the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas says a new Speaker is selected only after the House first meets, after it is dissolved, not prorogued. Prorogued resets the agenda. It means all items on the agenda are struck down. They erase, they no longer cease to be, all the committees are vacated, etc. But the Speaker remains, as well as the Deputy Speaker, unless you can show me in the Constitution where that is not so. So in my learned estimation, although Hassan Mutri is a meteorologist and an attorney at law and a nucleophysicist and an astronaut and a master of the alchemic arts, he's wrong. So proroguing the House will not elect a new Speaker. If they prorogue the House, he's still Speaker. The only thing the Constitution says that stops him from being Speaker is if he resigns, if he is unable to perform his job, as in being permanently incapacitated, or if he no longer is a member of Parliament. Barring that, or the dissolution of Parliament, which means Parliament's dissolved, writs of election are issued, a general election follows, House of Mutri ain't going nowhere. So Minnis cannot prorogue the House and elect a new Speaker. House of Mutri should know that. Again, my constitutional scholars point me to the article in the Constitution. I just read for you Article 49 of the Constitution that speaks to how a Speaker and Deputy Speaker come to be. Someone saying that a no-confidence motion can remove the Speaker. Show me where in the Constitution a motion of no confidence can remove a Speaker of the House. First things first, let's establish this. They already brought a motion of no confidence in the Speaker. You could only do it once during a session in order to avoid this frivolity where every week you're prompted into this no confidence. The government amended the motion of no confidence through a majority into a motion of confidence in the Speaker. So that's already on the record, that you have confidence in the Speaker. You're not allowed to bring another motion of no confidence. But had the motion of no confidence that the PLP brought succeeded, it would have done nothing to remove the Speaker. It would have amounted to a censure of the Speaker. the Speaker, you would consider, would do the honorable thing and goes, well, the majority of the House does not have confidence in me as Speaker of the House. I will therefore leave my office. If you want to understand how difficult it is to remove a Speaker from the House of Assembly, I want you to Google, and I'll just show you real quick. I'll just read one story for you real quick. Google the case of Miss Oka Sepal of Trinidad and Tobago. She was an attorney and in the early 90s was elected speaker, even though Trinidad's Republic, their still system still is reflective of ours. She was an attorney and the first female speaker of the House of the Parliament, the House of Representatives of Trinidad and Tobago in its history. I'll just read the story to help you understand how deep this went. In order to remove this woman from the speakership of the House of Assembly, of the House of Representatives, the president of Trinidad declared a national state of emergency in order to put the speaker under house arrest so that someone else could preside over the House of Representatives while they changed the Constitution to remove her. That's how hard it is. So, y'all talking about motion of no confidence? A, you can't bring it. B, even if you did, a motion of no confidence, according to my Bahamas Constitution, cannot remove the Speaker of the House of Assembly. Y'all talking about proroguing Parliament? According to my Constitution, proroguing Parliament will not remove the Speaker or Deputy Speaker of the House of Assembly. You're stuck with them. Right? It's a big game, right? Big dolly house game we playing. I like you. Let me make you Speaker. These are serious matters. You ought to put serious consideration in them. Not just deal making. Not I like Halston. Yeah, Halston. You can catch this 80 grand a year, get a driver and all this other stuff like that. You should have resigned your speakership. I know you want that 80 G's. I got you. The driver, the perks, right? But if you got such a big problem with the government and you know you got there on the government ticket, then just resign. So Oka Sepal, again, I'll read a story for you. This is the Associated Press. All right? So let's look at Article... Okay, someone's saying Article 66. All right, you're telling me Article 66. Let's go to Article 66 because I want you to show me. So I'm willing to be wrong on this. Let's go to Article 66. All right? That's where we are, Article 66. Bear with me, because I like to do this. I like to, let's all know what we're talking about. This says, Article 66, the Governor General acting in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister may at any time by proclamation prorogue Parliament. The Governor General acting in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister made at any time by proclamation, dissolve Parliament. Provided that if the office of the Prime Minister is vacant and the Governor General considers there's no prospect of his being able within a reasonable time to appoint to that office a person who can command the confidence of the majority of the members of the House of Assembly, he shall dissolve Parliament. Subject to the provisions of paragraph 4 of this article, Parliament, unless sooner dissolved, shall continue for 5 years from the date of its first sitting after any dissolution and shall then stand dissolve. Any time when the Parliament is at war, Parliament may extend the period of 5 years if between dissolution of Parliament and constituent general election, members of the assembly emergency arises. After every dissolution of Parliament, the Governor General shall issue writs of a general election as soon as whenever a person vacates his seats. I'm going to disagree. I don't see where that dissolving Parliament would elect a new speaker. Yeah, I don't. So I'm going to stick with it. Keep it coming. I'm not, no disrespect. I want to see what it is. Show me what it is. If I'm wrong, show me. School me. Teach me. As Dr. Strange said, teach me. So only the dissolution of Parliament, the resignation of the Speaker, him no longer being an MP or him being permanently incapacitated would remove him from office. So Mutri's wrong from what I can see. Maybe he's got a different constitution. I know he's got about four different rule books for the House of Assembly. But as far as I can see, the proroguing parliament will do nothing. A motion of new confidence will do nothing. All right? So there's that. Now, I'll say this. Again, what you need to do, Mutri, is just go ahead and resign as Speaker and be a normal member of Parliament. I'm not saying this out of malice. I think you've been a bad Speaker. You may think I'm a bad host, although your opinion is more subjective than mine is objective in accordance with what your role should be. But you need to resign. It says a speaker must be elected after each new session of parliament. You got to show me that. Show me now. Show me constitution show, article. So I'm looking at 66. I don't see it. All right. I'm looking at 66. I don't see it. I don't see where it says you need a new speaker after every session. I only see where it says you need a speaker to be elected after the House resumes after it was dissolved. That's what I see. All right. Now, you got a lot of constitutional scholars out there. Hit me. Let me know. Alfred Sears is out there. Maurice Tynes is out there, former clerk. He's well versed in all this stuff like that. I don't expect any of the current guys to tell me. Who else constitutional scholar out there? Tell me, show me. Show me where anything other than Mutri's resignation, him failing to be any longer be a member of the House of Assembly, or the dissolution of Parliament will remove him as Speaker. So Minnis is stuck, right? He's out of options. If to get rid of Mutri, from what I read of the Constitution, he's going to have to call an election, which probably ain't too far off, all right? He's now today an elbow key talking about they're going to bring a bill to legalize marijuana and all this other medical marijuana. So that's probably not too far off. All right, let's do some text messages, and then let's do some phone calls as well. 323-6232, 323-6232, and 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259. So I yesterday read the Constitution. Last night I read the Constitution. I read the book I have on the rules of parliamentary procedure, the one they call the Sayers rules, although Mutri says there's numerous different ones. And I also read Erskine May Manual of Parliamentary Procedure. And again, the only way to get rid of Mutri is without him resigning, is to call an election. And I'll tell you how deep, I told you how deep it went in Trinidad with Oka Sipol, right? And she had to, listen, and she agreed to resign only after she challenged the constitutionality of what the House of Representatives did in seeking to remove her, all right? They wanted to remove her because they said she fabricated corruption stories about a former colleague, right? Again, think about it. That's how deep that is. They had to call they had to do a national state of emergency in 1995, put the Speaker of the House of Assembly under house arrest so that she would not be able to oversee the parliament. That's how deep it is. That's the only way they could get her to not sit in the Speaker's chair, because she wouldn't allow them to bring the motion to change the Constitution to remove her. Mutri wields enormous power as Speaker of the House of Assembly. power he should have never been given in the first place. He wasn't a suitable person. Menas has done this repeatedly, put non-suitable people in positions just because of political allegiance. You should put thoughtful, careful, studied people in this. Say what you want about Christie, but Christie gave very thoughtful reasons for why he put Kendall Major there. Kendall Major made a huge blunder in office in terms of his ruling on the Public Accounts Committee that has come back to haunt everybody. But you can't accuse Kendall Major of running out with all this craziness that Moutry's been running out with over and over and over again. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Is that me?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Now, may I ask you why you say you should resign, Moutry, from the speakership?
Because he was elected to the speakership by a majority of members of the Free National Movement after having ran on the Free National Movement's ticket. So if he is no longer a member of the Free National Movement and he is ideologically opposed, he says in his letter that his commitment to transparency and good governance and the separation of powers will no longer allow him to be associated with the party. So if you can no longer be associated with the party that puts you in the speaker's chair, why remain in the speaker's chair?
Okay.
Well, why not allow the governing party to have their choice of speaker?
That makes sense, Juan. But I still can disagree and say that he shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah, they're looking out for you. They've done Carlisle Battle and campaigning in Nassau Village. Moultrie on his own, so you got to look out for yourself. Now, the thing I look at is when people like yourself, I myself was calling for him to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And even the opposition put forward a motion of no confidence or whatever you call it. The government said, no, hold on, man, we have confidence in the speaker.
That's correct.
So they say, they gave us the good reasons and the ministers did the nice speeches. Some of them, even women in the parliament, say sometimes daddy used to slap women down and all kind of
stuff.
That's
right. Why he punch you in your mouth? My daddy can ask me why he punched me in my mouth. Yeah.
This was coming from the women members, surprisingly.
And that sometimes the bad behavior, this is all over Glenys Hannah Martin, by the way.
Exactly.
Oh, the bad behavior and all this other stuff. Now it's different, right? Now Moutry says he no longer wants to be associated with any of you who stood up and defended him. He has no interest in being affiliated with you at all.
The same pit bull you all let loose on Glenys, now loose on them.
Right.
Now, the one thing I would like to see is he wait for Dr. Menas to have to move him, because I know legally this administration will mess it up. The Attorney General has made a number, because the government has made a number of steps legally the wrong way, and I know they can mess this one up.
Menas,
that's what I witnessed.
The only way Menas could move this man is if he calls an election. If I were him, I would just tolerate Moutry. You done loose this pit bull, like you say?
Yeah.
You got to go deal with it now.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, my brother. Yeah. That's it. Those are your options, Menas. Actually, you know what? We are under a state of emergency, so Menas could, in theory, execute an emergency order to put Moutry under house arrest. And let Don Saunders be. We could move that. You'll be tripping then, Menas. That I would like to see. But in terms of regular, constitutionally allowable things, outside of the state of emergency, using the state of emergency to somehow, I don't even know if that would stand up in court. But yeah. You are fresh out of options, buddy. Unless you call an election. Which you're going to call one soon anyway. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Quality Day University, along with you, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm right here. Thank God for everything and fight off. But Juan, I have a couple of questions. But first, I would like for you to read that portion in which the Governor General would have to come in there.
What do you mean?
There's something pertaining to the Governor General. I didn't got that too clear.
You mean to the dissolution of the House of Assembly or the prorogation?
Well, I didn't got what it was all about, but only one time you mentioned the Governor General in there.
Okay, I mentioned the Governor General when we talked to number 66, Article 66 of the Constitution, that says, and I'll be brief with this, that says the Governor General, acting in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister, may at any time, by proclamation, prorogue Parliament. All right?
That was in the portion because you mentioned something about the members that are in the House.
I don't know, Raymond.
Anyhow, let me ask you something.
Okay.
Moultrie, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loses perks by resigning from the party.
He lost nothing.
Lost nothing.
Yeah.
Still in good standing.
With who? The FNM? No.
No, I mean with pertaining to
everything else is straight. He's still a member of Parliament. He's still gonna get his MP salary. I'm sorry, he doesn't get an MP salary if he's Speaker. He's still a member of Parliament. He's still gonna get all his privileges as a member of Parliament. He's still gonna get his Speaker salary, which is $80,000 a year plus perks, plus driver, plus X, plus. So he's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How's it going?
Everything is cool. Ministry to fix his toilet.
Do what?
Toilet.
Ministry to fix his toilet.
Yeah.
And El Moultrie.
He should have fixed his toilet. Now look at the mess he is.
Oh, you're right. This could have been so simple.
He should have fixed his toilet. Now look at the mess.
Right.
Him, another blunder.
Fix up the man office. That's all he wanted. Hold you ransom. Yeah, that's it. Good one. Moultrie, the facility's outdated. You're talking about a new upgraded cabinet office? I gotta get upgrade office. Yeah. Didn't Moultrie turn in his keys? Is that still the case? Does he work from home now? I wonder how that works. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Good afternoon. Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hey, Vaughn. What's up, brother?
Good. How's it going?
All is well, brother. Let me ask you something. Mr. Minister, what is his profession?
Profession? You know what it is.
He's a doctor. Okay. What is Mr. Moultrie's profession?
He's an attorney and many other things.
You honestly think now, you honestly think Mr. Moultrie know what he do it?
Yes. Oh, okay. What do you mean in terms of how?
As far as what you call payback.
Oh, in terms of jamming them? Yeah,
yeah.
He know he's jamming them.
Yeah, he knows he's doing it. Let's be realistic.
He knows they're jammed. He knows they can't move him.
Let's be realistic. I was talking to someone last night, right? We know. You know, people has known things before a lot of people know. We know that the handwriting is on the wall, out on the ground a long time for Mr. Moultrie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before he even talk about fixing his toilet and things inside it, the office and stuff, right? So everyone know that. So now he find now Mr. Moultrie see it hit the ceiling. Well, he ain't got nothing to lose. When you deal with someone who don't have nothing to lose on, they don't care.
Right.
So at the end of the day, right, all of those who was praising Mr. Moultrie, especially when he lashed out at Miss Martin, at numerous times he even almost caused Miss Martin the police escort out of the House of Assembly. Now it's payback. So all of y'all who bombing, I call them the bombers,
right,
the bangers on the desk, when Mr. Moultrie decides to be fair and impartial with you guys, I hope y'all could take it. And Mr. Moultrie, if you're listening, suck it to them.
There you go, buddy. Day, yeah. There you go. All right, Dr. Frankenstein, deal with your monster. Remember all them get up? Sometimes with children bad, you gotta spank them and the behavior, this, and we have full confidence in. Now what? Now you jam. Yeah? All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. First of all, y'all should have never defended what Moultrie did like that. The PLP brought a no-confidence motion. Would you change it to a confidence motion for just to flex your parliamentary muscle? Just have the vote. The no-confidence motion goes down. They can't bring another one and move on. All y'all stand up and do this guy. He was wrong. He was wrong talking about his indigenous wife and who is a sissy and all this other. He don't associate with, come on. Y'all defending him, and now you're stuck. And it's hilarious. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
I get a comment?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Hey, Warren, what's up?
Right here, buddy.
Yeah, I know you're pressed for time. Warren, okay, the way I understood it, right? The way I understood it is that it's Mr. Mutri. Mr. Mutri, it could be a vote of no confidence. It isn't usual, but nothing prevented in the law. The second thing of it is, and this is what I got from Mr. Tynes last night. He was on the show last night. They can prorogue the host to remove Mr. Mutri. But one minute, let me ask you a question.
Time, Mr. Tynes will have to show me that in the Constitution.
Oh, well, Mr. Tynes, I'm only leaning on.
I liked him, but he would have to show me that in the Constitution.
Right. One, that's what I'm saying, right? I listened to Levitt just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mr. Mutri, from my first met him, he said that he is only there for one term. So I don't think that you know, he's looking to come back. But I listened to Levitt, and they so excited. But look at it, Warren. If the PRP was in power, I mean, if they was to win the next election, Warren McCartney, I know you would be really tough on the FNM. Like, you know, like, you have a personal problem with them. I listened, and I was really embarrassed here the way you speak about Mr. Mutri just now. But you will have to be criticizing them and beating them up. You'll have to get a next show and beat them up like twice a day for the.
You're embarrassed how I talk about Mutri?
I listened to you, and you made him feel like he is nothing as a member of Parliament.
You didn't. You weren't embarrassed when Halsin Mutri got up there and talked about at least he's married to a Bahamian woman.
I'm afraid him being a member of Parliament.
You're okay.
I'm afraid him being a member of Parliament. You made him seem like he was the worst member of Parliament you ever. Ever was. And that's our community.
No. He's the worst Speaker of the House of Assembly I have ever observed.
Okay.
For certain.
I don't feel
any embarrassment for me. I hope he hears that.
I'm saying as a member of Parliament, I saw him on the community. He did it different than the rest of the members of Parliament.
Well, I didn't speak to his stewardship as an MP for Nassau Village. I couldn't really speak to it.
I mean, if you remember, I think you did mention it earlier. But it isn't here or there. But I'm saying, right, the same people who are chanting like, you know, like they so holy and sanctified, right? They will be the worst thing that ever happened to this country if heaven forbid that they win the next election. So, Levitt, I know you're waiting on some big things to happen, but go sit down. Y'all ain't no good for this country. You and the PLP, all of y'all ain't no good for them.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
No problem. You know, and to say that Mutri's not been a good speaker and to say that the FNM's jammed himself is not jump up and cheer for the PLP, all right? It is what it is. All right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, man. I'm fine. I'm just enjoying the circus, man. I mean, it feels like I'm a part of a Jerry Springer show, finally.
Yeah. One big clown show.
One big clown show. I mean, I think that the speaker should resign. He should do the honorable thing, because if he thought he ran the house like Jerry Springer before, he could definitely run the house like that now. You know, I think he won up minutes as being King Petty. I think he's really taking the crown.
Mm-hmm.
we all know it's all about renomination. I mean, it's quite indicative, right? 2 days after, you know, the party announced nominees, you decide to resign from the party.
Right.
So, I mean, hey, congrats to him for being King Petty, and I wish him the best in all of his endeavors going forward.
Right. And, you know, he, like, compound the pettiness by sucking all the oxygen out of the FNM's announcement of its candidates, and now everybody's talking about this. In terms of the FNM.
Yep.
So it seems like a calculated move.
I mean, it's a smart move, a very smart move. I mean, it's a calculated pettiness. I mean, I must say, he should be commended on that.
Absolutely, yeah. It was super petty. Thanks, man. All right, let's take another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, can I open the show?
You're on the show. How are you doing?
Hi, but I'm with Fabian.
Right here. All good.
I tell Mutri, don't feel bad, man. I wasn't voting for him anyhow.
It wasn't gonna happen, no way, huh?
No, sorry.
Yeah.
The person who running, the candidate who running for Micah for the Progressive Liberal Party. You get the name of that person? I think somebody say Mr. McIntosh or something like that.
For Michael for Progressive Liberal Party? No, I don't recall. You know, I don't recall. I'd have to check. I'll double check, but I don't recall off the top of my head.
Sure.
No.
Okay, okay. So they need to come out now. They need to come on and have something to say. But everything else cool, though.
Yeah, everything cool. You know, we asked the PLP's candidates to speak for days now, and they said that the party has them under a gag order for some...
Should I reach out to the Baucus rule, man, who running against Jeff Lloyd?
All right.
The Baucus fellow and couple others, especially the ones from Inagua.
Yeah, we've tried to reach... I don't know who's running for Inagua, but we've tried to reach numerous members. I think we tried to reach all of them who were announced, who are new, and they said that the party has told them they can't speak until they give them permission.
They can't speak? They can't say nothing?
Correct, yes.
Whoa.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Makes no sense. It doesn't bode well.
No, not at all. Because we know what they could do. It might be a snappy election. I know. Tell them. They must know more than us. They must know.
Right. It makes no sense. They should speak.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, Ward.
All right. Thanks much. All right. We got time for one more call? One more call. I see your text messages. I'm going to read them. All right. I'm still waiting for you to show me in the Constitution. And Maurice Stein said proroguing Parliament will prompt the election of a new speaker. I would need to see that in the Constitution. I have great, great regard for Mr. Tynes, but I do need to actually see that in law. Okay, we don't have time for another call. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Your banking needs. Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim, swim.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't feel bad for the FNM. It's okay. They will be fine. They just did not pick a person as speaker who appears to be a reasonable, rational human being. I do find it strange that the PLP is saying that the FNM is imploding because of Mutri. Now, from what I know of our parliamentary history since 67, this would be the first time this has happened. Correct me if I'm wrong out there. But to suggest, and sure, okay, me and you, we could say the FNM's imploding. For the PLP to suggest the FNM is imploding when the PLP had numerous resignations, people crossed the floor, left the PLP, condemned the PLP from within their own party. The PLP had cabinet minister resign portfolios. To suggest this is imploding, then what happened with the last PLP? And that's part of the problem. With Fred Mitchell, and he's going to be mad and it's fine, such is life, right? Is that he holds a double standard on these things at times. Now, I'm not in Mitchell's mind, nor do I want to live there, but to me, a reasonable statement from the Progressive Liberal Party would be that we explain to you that this man was not fit to be speaker. We had moved a motion of no confidence in him. You defended him, and now you must now live with this betrayal. But again, I'm not the chairman of the PLP, but this smacks to me of a double standard that is easily dispelled from Mitchell. And again, at least Mitchell, he knows his constitution. The speaker remains in place until he resigns or the House is dissolved for a general election. So everyone out there talking about proroguing the House, everyone out there talking about no confidence motion, show me in law. Show me in law. Show me in a law where that is so. And it has to be in the Constitution because nothing trumps the Constitution. So show me in the Constitution where a majority of the government members can remove House and Mutri, or the prorogation of Parliament can prompt the election of a new speaker without Mutri's resignation. In law, show me the Constitution to where it cannot be trumped, and I will agree with you. When a Carlisle Bethel's people says he's not interested in Nassau Village. All right, well, maybe. I've been hearing your name bandied about, bruh. So, and ain't nothing wrong with that. And I know people got a problem with, some people got a problem with, oh, well, why the Attorney General's son got around? He's a Bahamian, and he's a grown Bahamian man, right? He can run for office. He's no criminal, no nothing. Why can he not run for office? I'm so confused. Why is it a problem? It's just because he has a legacy. His family is in politics. His grandfather is Sir Arthur Foulkes. And his father's Carl Bethel. And so what? Let him run for office. If he wins, he wins. It ain't like he can run. Ain't like just giving in a nomination means he wins. He'll have to earn the win. So I don't have any problem with you running for office, Carlisle Bethel. But if you ain't interested in Nassau Village, that's fine. Just know your name out here on the street about Nassau Village. So, and it ain't just me making it up out of my head. Couple more calls, then I got a lot of text messages we'll deal with. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm cool.
All right.
They say he's supposed to get a nomination to my cousin, the former president of the hotel union, Nicole Martin.
I've been hearing Nicole Martin name, too.
Yeah, and that's been going on a long time, even before Mutri.
I've been hearing Nicole Martin name, too. I won't lie to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This could be interested in the back here.
Why so?
I mean, so far.
How you think you're going to go down?
Well, it's a big possibility when you make the Bahamian people upset. Even if you would have been a good candidate and the party might not be moving as fast as the people, it's hard to, you know, to please them, and it's there, right? They wait for 5 years to make that statement. So it's a big possibility. The PLP have an interesting fellow as a candidate. And, you know, Nicole Martin, she's from this area.
Is it, Gerard Darville?
No.
Is he the one who's revised, or is it someone else?
I think it's a Stewart fellow, Jamal Stewart or something.
Jamal Stewart.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his profession is, because maybe, like you said, they need to do a bio or something, or biography or something, so you could know, like, what they just do. I'm not sure what he's do, but...
Oh, wait, I've got my thing here. I got it here.
You have a lot of people in the back here, you know. People like Mutri, they make it, like, true with a wave, how the people are feeling in the area, but the majority of people in the back here, they normally support the Progressive Liberal Party. When they get mad, they just go and vote for the FNM. But the Free National Movement members, them, they don't do it like that. Most of them, they...
Jamal Strong.
But the majority of them would stay home and they wouldn't vote. But it can be interesting.
Yeah. Jamal Strong, that's your guy. Jamal Strong. He worked in foreign affairs, I understand.
Him and Nicole Martin. I think that'll be...
You see him back there at all or what?
Huh?
You seen him back there at all or not yet?
Not yet, but I heard that... He was in the area, and he was hanging out with a few people. I think he was on the Soldier Road area, because, you know, Nassau Village is Soldier Road, Seabreeze, and Nassau Village.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like how they cut that up, by the way.
Well, what we really need in the back, we don't care how they cut it up, because the majority of us is do what we got to do, and we really like a cabinet minister who could do something for the people in the area. And, you know, because we're doing things for ourselves, but, you know, with a cabinet minister, we could go a little far with God help, you know?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
All right.
Take it in. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm fine, thanks. I think this is a good move, you know, for Mr. Mulkey. Why I'm saying that so is because... this is a good time for Bahamians to agitate that the speaker be, what you call it now, when a speaker is not with no political parties?
Independent.
And why I say it probably might be a good thing, if the speaker could apologize to the opposition and just move forward and be impartial in the next sitting, then I think it's a good thing, because no government will be able to control the speaker. You understand what I'm saying? He made some mistakes, and like you said, he wasn't the best speaker, but he still has a chance because he's still yet the speaker.
Now, how is that going to work? If you don't have any, if let's say you have no independent members of parliament, how are you going to make it?
We have independent members of parliament, though.
But let's say you didn't.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a case we'll have to arrive to when we get there. But at the present time, we do have members of parliament that are independent. So they also have a voice in the House of Assembly now.
Yeah, it'll be
so
interesting.
Let's just wait and see what's going to happen. And I'm glad you read that out, that there's no way the Prime Minister, according to the Constitution, can remove the Speaker unless he calls a general election. I think Alison Mutri, I think he intentionally did that, though.
It seems calculated. Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, man. All right. Yeah, we called Mutri yesterday. He said he wouldn't be speaking beyond his statement. And I, you know, everything cool, Alison Mutri. I've critically analyzed your time as speaker, and it's not, it would not have been personal to you had you not brought so much of your personality and personal stuff into it. And you've just not been a good speaker who facilitates good, thorough, balanced debate. Who protects the minority? You allow every whim, every petulant whim of the government members to have the day, and it's been kind of really a sad day for open debate and democracy these past few years, because you've allowed the government to just run roughshod over the minority, which really you should have taken much greater care to amplify the voices of the
minority members of the House of Assembly due to the fact that there are so few of them, right? Why do you think you should pile on after the other 30-odd members of the House so often heckle and scream and shout and make noise like children while the members of the opposition are trying to speak? You should protect them. But instead, you've allowed the government to bully them. You've not sought to mediate with the government to have question day. I was watching the Canadian Parliament day before yesterday. Someone sent me a clip of the Canadian Parliament. And so committed are they, right, to being accountable, because we're not, right? We say that we're committed to it, and we are not, right, in this democracy. So committed are they to being accountable that they had opposition question day in Parliament. They do it regularly. We wouldn't even know what it looks like if we saw it, where they get to ask the ministers anything, right? And the ministers oblige, unless it's, you know, anything about what's in their portfolio. And so serious are they in their commitment to it that the opposition members were in the actual parliament and Justin Trudeau was at home and he was answering virtually. And they have back and forth, kind of like they do in Britain. But here we don't do any of that or try to do any of that. Here, if you win the election, screw the opposition. Forget any questions that they may have. There's dozens, I think there's over 50 questions that the opposition members have had that they haven't answered in years. And the answer is, well, Christie them did it, but you said you were different, didn't you? Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm right here. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. And good afternoon to the nation. Interesting discussion.
I heard you had big co-host gig yesterday, Anthony.
I heard you yesterday. Oh, it's like, listen, my boy wouldn't show a blow enough for me, man. Listen, my boy wouldn't show a blow. You know, I thought, as a matter of fact, one, now that you mention that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mention that, someone, while I was on the show, a good friend of mine, who is also a staunch supporter of the current administration, sent me a text, and she was of the view that democracy is well and alive at The Guardian. As a matter of fact, I almost thought I was at Cillin and Pinlan headquarters. For those who don't know, Gamma was the PLP headquarters, because there's a lot of yellow in y'all, always one. I felt right at home.
I didn't pick that color. I think Brent picked that. Yeah.
I felt like I was walking down the Golden Pathway and I saw Cillin and Samilo and them.
Oh,
I saw former Prime Minister Perry Christie and the next Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, and Deputy
Lord.
Prime Minister, Honorable Chester Cooper, man. I was right at home. But nonetheless,
now
it was
I
a great.
Yeah.
I appreciated the opportunity. It was a great opportunity to come out and speak, you know, from the other side of the mic. As you know, I'm constantly on this side of the mic, and so I look forward to any opportunity and all opportunities with you all moving forward to come and share the mic again.
Gotcha. Right? You got a comment on Mutri?
Yeah. Focusing on the Mutri matter. I want to shift the focus a little bit as it relates to the Mutri matter, and because I believe that what Mutri said is being missed in this whole discussion.
Mm.
People are flying past the condemning remarks that he made against the administration, that he was the key and number one protector of debate and democracy over the FNM government.
Yep.
He came out of the belly of the FNM government. He was the chief protector of all communications and behavior in Parliament on behalf of the government. And he went overboard in doing that in many instances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you have this gentleman, after almost 4 years in office, when we are on the last stretch of elections, in my opinion, 2021, but definitely 2022, we are on the last stretch, 1 year out from a 2022 election, pretty much, and he decides he can no longer stomach and tolerate the FNM. He can no longer stomach and tolerate the FNM one. His convictions would not allow him. His principles would not allow him. I think, in my view, one, that is a serious and deadly indictment. He is not just spitting words out of his mouth, poisonous, vile words. He's not just speaking emotionally. This gentleman sat down and inked an intelligent, intellectual communication where he spoke specifically to the challenges that he has with the prime ministers, with his prime minister and their government. He spoke it eloquently, one. I believe that that's where the focus needs to be. He seriously condemned them, and that is a message for the nation. His note one, is a, it reminds me of what happened with...
All right, I got some other callers going on, Anton.
Anyway, thank you for the opportunity, Juan. God bless.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm going to deal with my text messages here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, McCartney, I call in for something very important today.
Go ahead.
I can hang up and listen, but I need to know your Super Bowl pick for Sunday, brother.
Chiefs, man.
Cool, yeah.
Chiefs by 7.
Okay, Curry Goat then.
Curry Goat.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Sorry, Brady. I don't know, man. Mahomes rests up his young boy, you know. All right. It says, House and Mutri resigns, yawn, nobody cares, and his constituency doesn't like him, so he wouldn't have gotten reelected even if he did get a nomination. It says, good afternoon, Juan. If the leaders of the DNA and other fringe groups were country first and not selfish desires to become prime minister, they would contact sitting parliamentarians such as Chipman, McAlpine, and the other disgruntled parliamentarians and offer them the leadership of their parties to go in the upcoming general election with sitting MPs might make a big difference for these parties. Yep, that it might. One, the reality is this. Haltzen did what he did, not to sit in the chair. He will not have the opportunity to debate as he wishes. So if he wants to debate, then resign as speaker, but he won't do that. Boy, I think he realizes just what he did. This says, we love what Mutri did. We have an independent speaker. You're going hard to protect your FNM. I wonder what show y'all be listening to. You say, I'm protecting the FNM, and the one FNM caller says I'm doing the FNM bad. Like, does the sound of my voice make you interpret the same words differently through your particular hearing? I'm going hard to protect the FNM, please. It says, Juan, Mutri is also a professor of bovine. Oh, gosh. It says the session is 2017 to 2022, unless the House is prorogued. Good afternoon, Juan. Mutri should not resign just because he's got his position through the FNM. If your argument holds, then Von Miller, Reese Chipman, and Fred McAlpine should all resign as MPs because they were voted in through the FNM appointment as candidates. Additionally, Mutri, being an independent member, can only cause him to perform better as speaker. Great show. No. Let me show you the flaw in your logic. Mutri was elected to Parliament through voters in his constituency of Nassau Village, as was Reese Chipman in Centerville, and McAlpine in Pine Ridge, okay? And Von Miller in Golden Isles. The people put them there. The only way. So that, therefore, whether it was FNM or PLP, whatever like that, the people put Mutri in the House. The only way that Mutri could ever become Speaker is if the majority of MPs in the House voted for him to be Speaker. Since the majority of FNM MPs voted you to be in the House, and you now think that the FNM is not a party committed to transparency, etc., you should resign as Speaker. Because why would you still want to be there if you were put there by people you don't believe are committed to transparency and good governance and the separation of powers? So it's not the same thing. I know the argument you're trying to make, but it's not the same thing. Voters put Mutri in the House, so he's not resigning his seat. I didn't say he should resign his seat because he doesn't want to be in the FNM. He should resign as Speaker because he's only Speaker because the FNM MPs put him there. Mutri very well could have, it wouldn't happen, but he could have very well run as an independent and there, then he's there. That's the way I break it down. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Great show, great discussion once again.
Thanks.
I think that a lot of what, like the last caller was saying, a lot of what went into Moultrie's resignation letter is being overshadowed by possible motive as to why he decided to pen this letter at this particular time, what might have prompted it. You know, after sitting as the speaker for so many years now, what is the straw that broke the camel's back?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the motive of why he wrote the letter is less important than the content of the letter itself.
Mm-hmm.
Going to what the caller said before, the caller before that one was talking about democracy being alive and well in the Bahamas. I think that's completely, that's not true in any sense of the word. We're only able to cast one vote in this country, and then we elect those 39 people, and then those 39 people govern every aspect of the country. You know, you can say, all right, you know, we have the Senate. The Senate is appointed by the government, by those members of parliament who are in power. The executive branch also selected by whoever wins, you know, as prime minister. So when you say democracy being alive and well, and in Moultrie's letter, he talks about, you know, there being one leader, there's no balance of powers. You know, the legislative branch is the executive branch, is the judiciary.
And you're correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't agree with you about the judiciary, but I do agree with you about the executive and the legislative branch having an incestuous relationship.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, regardless of why he decided to pen this resignation letter and whatever his motives might be, maybe, like they say, he's just trying to get a toilet. I think that he's not wrong.
He's not. No, listen, Moultrie's not wrong about there not being enough separation of power, that the parliament should not be accountable to the Secretary of Cabinet, particularly for appropriations, and also that they have stacked the deck in putting nearly 20 members of the now, what, 30, 32 members now they got, or what, in the House of Assembly, into Cabinet, so that effectively any legislation is already a foregone debate is pretty much unnecessary. All right, so he's not wrong in that. He's not a good speaker, but he's not wrong in that.
For sure. I definitely don't think he's a good speaker. I don't think anyone with sense would say that he is. But I think that, you know, the conversation of separation of powers needs to be had.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the entire restructuring of how we have our system, it needs to be a conversation we should have. This is Man Juan Minis trying to imply my hometown people like that wacky tabacky. Why he mentioned in ganja there, they'd probably rather know when they can have stable electricity and sensible roads. By the way, why the squirrel on medical marijuana, not legalization of recreational Mary Jane? Squirrel, well, because, as I've said, the prime minister is using these events to campaign in an unfair method, because the PLP and other parties cannot do so under the guise of these events. So he's using events that are going to bring national attention by virtue of him being prime minister to announce policies that are campaign issues. All right? So if you go through the FNM's manifesto, you're not going to see any promise to bring forth medicinal marijuana. You could see many, many, many things that they promised that they didn't do. But he knows that marijuana is a popular issue. And the election's upcoming. You can see it coming because they announced these things. It's got medical marijuana has nothing to do with nothing, right? The issue that he was speaking about last year before the pandemic hit was decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana so that young men don't keep getting criminal records and going to prison for this stuff. All right? So he's campaigning, that much is clear. Juan, they left him no options if they aren't going to nominate him for a seat again. Apart from this, since the speaker is supposed to be independent in how he governs the House, I see no reason why he should step down from being speaker. All right. Now, see, Moultrie's my calculus would be all, I wouldn't calculate my stuff like that. Same thing I look at when I look at Leslie Miller, right? So I wouldn't be out here, well, I wanted a seat, I wanted a seat, I wanted a seat, I wanted a seat. Man, look, you already had the seat. You already been in Parliament. You already been Speaker. Certainly, even if you win the seat, even if the FNM wins again, there's no guarantee you're going to be Speaker. What you do is you go and you make your deal and you say, all right, you don't want to give me the seat. You want someone young in a seat. You don't think I could win the seat. You don't think I'm popular in Nassau Village. That's fine. All right? You give someone else the nomination. I'm going to support them as much as I can. You win the next election. I want one board chairmanship. I want, you understand what I'm saying? To be in charge of some authority. That's how politics works, is deal making. Right? And you make the best deal that you consider for yourself and for the party. So all this is doing is just, it's throwing a fit that didn't need to be thrown, you know? And they could have worked it out a different way. But, you know, in terms of how Minnis interacts with his people, I think that a lot's lost in the normal, how political parties normally should work in terms of getting things done. McCartney, have you heard about this person that came from the UK with the virus? I haven't. No. You'd have to tell me. I'm delighted that Minnis is stuck with Mutri. He can't do anything to get rid of Mutri. Minnis is too spiteful. He can call an election. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon. It's sad that we don't have a prime minister who is more about chemistry. He's probably borderlining on conflict and trying to manage catastrophe because he wants to ride that wave.
Yeah.
But he should have been able to bring people together. There's no way this should happen.
No.
But you agree with me, right?
Yes, of course, yes.
Okay, but what I see, listening to what Mr. Moji was saying all along, is that he should, once elected to this House of Speaker, to that position of Speaker, he is now totally independent from the judiciary and the executive.
Yeah.
So there's no reason now to feel allegiance to having to resign from this position if I decide to just resign from something else.
But why resign from the FNM? Because they don't believe in transparency? They're the people who put you there.
Yeah, but still, that position that was given to him by those people who don't believe in it. But now that's a right he has to keep it because it's an independent position. That should have its own budget.
Yeah, I agree. It should have its own budget. It should be independent. Yep, I agree with that. Yeah,
that's probably the way he's thinking.
I doubt it, but okay. Yeah. So, you got to be, and again, this isn't, I told y'all I was going to try to be fair. I'm trying, all right? I got to practice, right? Okay, so I'm going to try to be as fair as possible to Dr. Hubert Minnis, even though I'm not satisfied with his leadership, but I'm going to try to be fair, but I will say this. You don't see this kind of thing unless something's drastically wrong. So, again, like I was saying, Mitchell has a double standard about the PLP. You know, there was something drastically wrong with what was going on with the PLP leading up to the last general election. A big part of it was Christie's reneging on his commitment to step down halfway through and let Davis take over as prime minister. That was a big part of it. And that started a fracture, particularly within the guys who were supposed to be the bridge to the future. So you see Ryan Pinder resign, although I think Pinder just was trying to go get papered up, you know what I'm saying? You see Renwood Wells leave, Andre Rollins leave, because clearly this bridge to the future ain't working, and I can't make nothing else happen. It's the same old faces popping up and doing things. So it's indicative of something being wrong internally, you know, elementary, of course, he's leaving the FNM. It's indicative of something being wrong with the leadership and the leader's inability to put out fires, make deals, ameliorate situations that don't have to escalate into the public sphere, and even when they do, to tamp them down. So if you would recall, and I'll get back to your text messages shortly, when the Bahamar deal was signed under Ingram, and it gave them concessions for 8,000 work permits for Chinese workers, Sir Sol Kerzner popped up and went, hey, wait a minute. And Kerzner and Ingram are friends, all right? Like personal friends. And Kirzner publicly went, hey, wait a minute. You gave us most favored nation status. How is it then that Baha Mar can get something that we did not get because we never got a heads of agreement where we were allowed to have that sort of labor component, foreign labor component? And Ingram was asked about it, and Ingram said, it's going to be just fine. I'm paraphrasing. He said, we will take care of it. I'll work it out. So my understanding is Ingram got on the phone, talked to Sir Sol, explained to him the things that they were planning to help them with in regard to their future plans and how they could help them. And you never heard another word about it from Atlantis, did you? Not a peep. So that's a leader who knows how to put out a fire before you could see the smoke from too far away. Or if you see the smoke, you get out there and you put the fire out quick. It says, Juan, I don't think Mutri will impact the work of the government as he'll just be looked at as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. It says, Mutri's just McAlpine, politically grandstanding and enjoying the benefits of the party while not supporting the party. He should be honorable and just resign. It says, so on, is there a gag order on the PLB candidates? Yes. Yes, there's a gag order on the PLP, correct. Why? I have no earthly idea. Sounds like Davis is practicing his dictatorship and control. Not a good sign. More of the same. It's not a good sign, Brave Davis, to gag all your candidates. If you announce them, they should be ready to speak about what they're about. If they have been able to convince you that they are the right person to run for Nassau Village, then certainly, at the point of you announcing that they're running, they should be able to speak to the public as to why they're the right person to run for Nassau Village. You would see, note the difference in that Jennifer Isaacs Dotson and Felicia Knowles both spoke to the Nassau Guardian yesterday about why they believe they're the right people for Cat Island, Rumpkins, and Salvador in Knowles' case, and Exuma and Ragged Island in Isaac's case. Don't think they'll be winning. Wish them the best, but they at least are free to speak, which shows, if only briefly, a stark difference in the FNM and the PLP. I want my Facebook memory for February 4th, 2020 was this post. The more House and Mutri speaks, the dumber we get. Someone please muzzle that cretin. I think it's safe to say many of us won't miss him. And I'm not, I'm not saying this because I read about House and Mutri in the paper. I watch every single sitting of the House of Assembly to the extent that I cannot watch it in its entirety. Every single sitting, it is because I am committed to something that cannot be abandoned. All right, we'll be back after this break.
Are you ready to break up with your car? Easy Car Sales invites you to fall in love with an electric vehicle. Ditch the gas pump, the expensive mechanics. Feel the freedom, the power. Visit easy242.com and make a date to test drive an electric vehicle today. Get into a better relationship. Find your perfect match at Easy Car Sales and drive electric happily ever after.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
Guardian Media wants you to get active in 2021 and become eligible to win a two-night stay at the luxurious Comfort Suites. Gift certificates from Rose Essentials, Bahari, Sia Monet Organic Candles, Soaps, and Scents. Lunch for two at Tiki Bikini Hut, plus a round-trip ticket and cases of water from Bahama Blue. Get up, get out, and get active. Walk, jog, run, cycle, or swim on dates and times of your choosing safely anywhere in the Bahamas. Take a photo or video of you being active and log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com contest page. Click on the Guardian Media Get Active in 2021 contest link and upload your photos and videos. Invite your friends and family to vote on your entry for your chance to win fantastic prizes. Your body and mind will thank you for being active. Guardian Media is working to help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Promotion ends February 26th. Winners will be announced March 5th.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Jr. combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken Jr. sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including that. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Throwing a big party for the game? Gotta get Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, and salsa, or Lay stacks. Wanna win one of 10 HD TVs? Well, you better enter the Frito-Lay Football Sweepstakes. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the Throw and Win game this Saturday, February 6th, 1 to 3 p.m. at Solomon Supercenter. Just throw the football through the uprights to win instant prizes, including tablets. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Looking for plenty food and you're on a budget?
Well, yeah, great.
Stop into Wendy's and grab our latest bundle. Introducing the Biggie Bag. With the new Biggie Bag, you get a Dave's Singles, Junior Fries, regular drink, and four-piece nuggets for only $7.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more. Now that's a deal. It's the best on these streets. Available at all locations. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney, so good to have you with us. We're talking Alison Mucher today. Crazy, wild, wild stuff with Mucher. Crazy stuff. We got time for one more call, and then I got text messages. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Actually, I would like to be able to speak with you off air, Vaughn.
Sure, if you'd like to leave your number, I'll try to give you a call back as soon as I can today.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll do so. Bye-bye.
Yep. Just get her info for me, Kermie. All right, let's go through our text messages as best as we can. Blessings. One, I believe the political mishaps that is happening within the government is connected directly to the unfocused and vindictive leadership of the PM and others within and out of the government. After Dr. Minnis would have taken all the political spankings and insults, he should have maintained that same humbleness and stamina and worked for the good of the Bahamas and its people, but he seems to have abandoned it. So sad. Let us then continue to pray and seek for sincerity in those who seek to govern the Bahamas. I do pray for them. Y'all think I'm lying. I do pray for them. Every night I pray for them with my children. Good day, Juan. Why do we have Turkish and other foreign workers at Prince George Wharf doing the work of the longshoremen and stevedores? Those jobs are supposed to be for Bahamians, especially when you have persons living in cars and on long lines for handouts. I don't know that to be the case, but I could check it out. Juan, good day. Here, you persons on both sides of the political divide still die hard. With all this exposure of both parties selling out and signing deals which are not in the best interest of the Bahamas, when are we going to change our thinking? I don't know, man. Doesn't look like any time soon. Good day, sir. Tell Mo, that FNM clown, stop being a crybaby and take it like a man. Good day, McCartney. My 5 cents, if it wasn't mentioned already, could be the excuse for the government to call the early election like everyone's saying, that it's possible so they could be casting blame on the speaker. That's possible, but then why would the speaker just talk about the party so poorly? It says, Nicole can't win in this area. I work with her, and the hotel union people thought she was lousy. Oh, Lord. I've known Nicole Martin for a long time by virtue of her being the president of the hotel union. So she's cool in my book. I don't know anything about why she wants to rep, if she's doing that or anything. And so hopefully one day she'll come talk about it, if that's the case. Hi, Juan. Why is it that you as a journalist can't criticize a politician without it being seen as you hate that person? It's so wrong. It's people like you that hold public servants accountable. If left to general public, politicians would be left to their own devices. Yeah, I don't hate anybody. There's people I don't like. None of them at the moment sit in the House of Assembly. There are people I have a personal problem with, but, you know, not any of these people. Juan, tell Anton two straight, FNM, FNM, maybe three. Three now. Boy, you're up in the ante. It says, Mutri is talking about people being personal with him. He was very personal with members of the opposition, and particularly with Davis and Hannah Martin. As the only woman on the opposition, I felt as if he singled her out on more than one occasion. Worst speaker ever. Yeah, he wasn't a good speaker. Pas bon, as my Haitian friends say. Yes, pas bon. All right, I can't take any more calls, Kirby. We just don't have the time. It says, Juan, why Anton bust that evil supervillain laugh when he said he saw a bunch of yellow in y'all hallway? I know I can't look at it the same way now. It says, Juan, afternoon, you know the NIB money now is $60 every 2 weeks? No, I didn't. I did not know that. I don't know that to be the case at all. It says, don't blow your thing with Dwight again, Anton. You got a potential 3 hours of PLP lotioning instead of a minute 30 seconds if you tone it down. It says, Guardian gave Anton a whole 3 hours to talk, and he's still coming on y'all's show to take up the entire segment with his rhetoric. Juan, I hope you buy our landscaping tools before you invite Pink Card Sparky on our show. What? It says your voice has Lyford key inflections, cadences, and tonage, i.e. FNM sounding. LOL. Do I? Sorry, got from Lyford key. Let me tell y'all something. Ain't only FNM's up in Lyford key. I don't want you to believe that. I don't want you to believe ain't no PLPs up in there, son. Trust me on that one. This says, no, the motive colors whether the content of his resignation is credible or not. Parliament is responsible, and specifically the Ministry of Finance, to account for public funds. This nonsense about independent budgets, etc., is just that. Nonsense. Says, I wish Bahamians would wake up in general and stop this party voting and allow more independents and third-party candidates to be a part of Parliament. Would like a government committed to changing this old plantation model democracy and moving to something that serves us better. Yeah, would be nice. Hi, Juan. Thank you for all you did in reference to this legalization fight. Although it's a small victory, it's better than nothing. I hope they move to full legalization so that the police can focus on other areas of crime. For sure, I wish I could have done more. I think it's really crazy that we're just at this place where it's got to be some, hey, election issue. Yay, legalize marijuana. Like the entire Western civilized world is moving toward this and moved toward medical marijuana, I mean, decades ago for the most part. All right? Canada's got federal legalization of marijuana. And the only thing that's keeping the Canadian marijuana black market going so strong is that they're moving too slowly in opening up retail operations. And I went to Canada, and guess what? Everyone wasn't on the street all strung out on marijuana and killing people and strangling old ladies and fornicating on the grass, right? It ran just fine. It says, word on the street is that Carlisle Bethel is getting that nomination. That's the word on the street to me, too. But hey, so did you know that the WTO forced our government to sell our phone company? I did not know that because that's not true. Good day, McCartney. What is the role? WTO can't force Hubert Ingram to sell no phone company. Does that think about that for a second. Does that even make sense? The WTO can force the government to sell government property? Think about it. Good day, McCartney. What is the role of an MP, especially one who is not in cabinet? Some of the things Bahamian talked about an MP doing is done by local government officials in most first world countries. Well, we don't have local government here in New Providence. That's one thing. But the MP's role really is to legislate and represent you in parliament. But they've taken on the traditional role of taking care of the community, which ain't bad. But I think people expect so much of their MP. However, there's the converse way to look at it to say is, if you are an MP and if you do represent these people, you going to let them live like this? You going to let them be like this? Like, I can't do it. I can't have no pride and be like that. Like, my son was going out the other day. He put on his jeans. He was just going out to go play with the other kids nearby. And he put on his jeans, and his jeans were, like, gunning, you know, like 2 inches off his ankles. And I was like, no, come. I was like, no, son, come. Give me these. I'm going to give these away. I'm going to get you some new jeans because I don't want you. You're representing me now, right? So I need you looking a certain way. I need you to present a certain way. So I represent your constituency. Do I want you going outside defecating in the bush? Do I want you living where the rats and roaches occupy the same space where you sleep, where children don't have food to eat? Can I comfortably go to the House Assembly in my coat suit and sit up in the AC and laugh and bang on the table while you live like that, even though technically that's not my role to take care of the community? No, I cannot. And there is some responsibility to take care of your community because you do have a constituency allowance that allows you to do certain things. This says, hi Juan, why is NIB paying $20? I have no idea what you're saying. It says, had the PLP forgotten about the Dissident 8, the largest exodus of MPs for a sitting government in our history? Double standard is an understatement. Hey Juan, all you have to do is when the gag order is lifted, tell them you don't need to hear from them anymore. I mean, I do want to hear from them. Like, get your stuff straight when you come, but I want to hear from you. Says, hi, Minnis can win the next election only if he hires Barack Obama. The man is power, the way he helped beat Trump. Yep. Nicole Martin, really? Nassau Village? Please, Nassau Village needs serious seasoned representative to help its constituency and country. All right, we're out of time. That's going to do for the show. We've done 3 days of straight raw politics, and it's been a blast. I won't lie to you, so I don't regret it at all. But we'll be back on Monday. We'll see what developments occur, and then I got some other stuff planned for you for next week. You guys do take care out there, and have a great day, Bahamas.